All right, that should do it.
All right.
Yep. Whew, we lost an hour last night. Someone sucked an hour out of our life. For posterity's sakes, how does that make you feel? You don't know that's Princess Bride. Bad movie. Yeah, it was quite a joke. An hour less sleep and snow on the ground. What a way to wake up.
I wasn't mad at all.
Oh. So, we're coming into the Easter season. We're coming into the time of year we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection, where he brought salvation to everyone. Salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is being rescued. Being rescued from something, being protected from harm. In the case of Christ, he saved us, he rescued us from sin and the consequences of sin, which is death. We still have to go through a physical death, but that's only temporary. He conquered death. And salvation means that we live with him forever. That he rescues us not only from sin and death, but from ourselves and from everything we do. It's not the gist of my message today, but that's the basis. Salvation, rescuing us from the world. It's interesting that when we look towards Palm Sunday in a couple weeks, we look at that whole scenario that was occurring, that Jesus was riding in on a donkey. The people in the area threw their cloaks on the ground and palm branches on the ground, proclaiming him as king, victor, king, coming in on a donkey, a burden, a beast, a piece. A donkey is peace, and the leaves and all that mean victory. Victory and peace. And what did they say? They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. We sing that all the time. Hosanna in the highest. Anna used to think we said, who's Anna? And she would go like, I am, when we sang it. So that was fun. But Hosanna, where does that come from? What's the derivative of that? It comes from the Hebrew words Yasha and then Anna, which harpens back to Psalms 118. I read Psalms 118 and it was amazing. It was amazing how much it paralleled in some ways Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry. Psalm 118, 20, 29. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this to this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There it is. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Hosanna, Yasha, Anna, means deliver, save, I beg, I beseech you, save us, save us. They were declaring unto God, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, we beg that you save us. Save us from what? In their minds, save us from the Roman Empire. Save us from the tyranny that we're feeling, the oppression that we're feeling. You have shown us a light. Save us, O King. But God had different plans. His plans was to bring into fruition what he had started from the beginning. He worked first through Israel, and he opened it up to everyone. He brought the tribe of Israel out of Egypt. He brought the tribe of Israel into the point where Jesus was born, and that his salvation or his death on the cross brought salvation to all. The main part, actually, of my message today actually goes back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, actually. Why I bring out the word salvation and Him rescuing us from us is because I want us to look back at our lives, look back at what we've gone through so far. Remember what God has done, where He has saved us, where He has pulled us from the depths of darkness that we were in, through illnesses that we were in, through death of loved ones that we went through. We've made a long trek to where we are now. And that track is sort of paralleled with Egypt's walk from the glorious deliverance through the Red Sea till they got to the Promised Land. Isn't that where we are from the salvation of God to His coming back? Are we meeting Him in heaven? We're walking through that wilderness. And in that wilderness is where we develop. And we see God, and we go through things to bring Him to where we want us to be. But we also gain things, too. We gain a knowledge of God. We can become comfortable in where we're at. We want to see God move. We want to see God deliver people. We want to see Him to save the unlost. We want to see miracles. We want to see works where God comes down in fire and people are saved. But we can't look just to that and fall in love just with wanting to see that. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about just seeking God and not forgetting who God is. So in that thought, I just want to read Deuteronomy 8 and think about all those things. Because God tells them why they went through the wilderness. And God warns them of the perils to come. You would think that running out of water and food was a perils that they had to go through. But no, that's not the biggest peril. We'll find out what it is. Deuteronomy 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. This is Moses speaking before they went into the Promised Land. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will not lack nothing. You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. In other words, in our lives, He's bringing us to a point where we're sufficient on Him and we have all of our needs. Seek ye not first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added unto Him. Do not worry about what you will wear. Do not worry about what you will eat. He provides all of it. But then comes the peril when that provision is made. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you'll be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. It is so easy that once we get things going, once we see, let's say, like church moving, it's easy to fall in that trap. It's our own power. It's our own ability. Look at us, what we are doing. Look at who we saved. But that's such a trap. That's such a trap because it's never about us. It's about him who saved us, about Christ and what he has done. They talk about, you know, how wrong it was for the Israelites to kill everyone, you know, when they'd go into the land. But right there is what God said, destroyed for not obeying their God or your God. They did not obey God. Their sin had come for tuition. They were a ruthless generation. And God dealt with them with judgment because they did not know God. They did not serve God. They forgot God. And the same thing happened to Israel then over and over and over again. The judges brought salvation. David brought salvation to a nation that was totally annihilated at times. And then finally, when it was completely destroyed by Assyria and Babylon, God raised them back up. He changed the hearts of the enemies to build the temple once more so that his time could be fulfilled in Christ when he came and died on the cross. He rescues us. He rescues us. We don't do it ourselves. And in the end, we see the beautiful picture in Revelation. As John looked, he saw a multitude, a great multitude that no one could count. From every tribe, every nation, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. They were holding palm branches in their arms. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Salvation, our rescue, everything we do belongs to God. Let us rejoice in that. Let us go into this Easter season praising God, declaring his mercies, that forever he is glorified because he brought salvation to us. Not that we deserved it, not that we earned it, not that anything we do has anything to do with how we are rescued, but he himself belongs it, he gives it, and he rescues us from ourselves. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, that you have rescued, that you are our salvation. And we, as a body, just declare that salvation belongs to you, that you sit upon the throne, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. So it was short, Chris.
Yeah, <indeed. laughs>